Today's daf is Kuf Mem Zayim. We're going to start the Mishnah at Kuf Mem Vav Amud Bet. For Och Lema for the week, LeDavid Avraham Ben Miriam, Orli Pnina Bar Recha Frida, Yael Miriam Bat Chaya, Daphna Chaya Bat Zari, Lana Mir Bat Dina, Reza Bat Pesha, Chaim David Ben Yachet, Ilanit Bar Carmela, Rafael Aviv Rachamim Ben Sipori, Yoshua Adam Ben Naomi, Roni Bat Zara, Ahava Emuna Bat Chava, Micha Bat Esther Miriam, Chanalea Bat Fredo, Rafael Moshe Ben Malka. Okay, Mishnah. We're now going to get to the basic halacha of Shchiv Mirah that we talked about a lot. I looked up a bit of I saw at least one pirush about the name Shchiv Mirah. How did we get that Shchiv Mirah is a sick person? So they say Shchiv he shochev Mirah from a choli, from something bad. So that's one of the, at least one of the, I saw that interpretation. I imagine there's other ones. Okay, so he writes his nechasim to other people. He says, I want to give away all of my property. Vishir karka kolshehu, but he leaves over just a little bit for himself. So he's lying there in his deathbed. He says, I'm going to give my money to you and to you and to you, but I'm going to keep a little bit for myself. Matanato kayemet. Then what happens? Then he gets better. So what do they say? It's a good matana, because if he had left over, well, we'll see the second case in a second, maybe I'll just read to the end. Lo shi'er karka kol shu, if he didn't leave himself anything, and then he gets better, right? Obviously, he didn't intend to give away his money without leaving, you know, and he would basically be poor with nothing at all. So therefore, em matanato kayemet. So if he doesn't leave himself anything, we've seen this in the past, doesn't leave himself anything, then the assumption is that he meant only when I die. But if he's lying there sick and he tells, you know, he tells people, I'm giving you this and giving you that and giving you that, and I'm going to leave myself this, it means that he didn't necessarily, or at least one can assume, right, again, this is all about, and we're going to get to it right away, and the beginning of the sugya is going to be all about, can we make assumptions about what somebody intended based on what they say, which is really what's going on all the time, that we try to make assumptions. So this is going to be called, in the words of the Gemara, they're going to call it an umdina. Okay, umdina is, we can be omed da'ato, omed with an aleph, we can assess what his opinion was, what his intent was. So again, the assumption is, if he leaves over a little bit to himself, then he meant, I'm giving this away to everybody, whether I get better or whether I don't get better. Right? Okay, if I die or if I don't die, I'm happy to give my money away because I'm leaving myself a small amount. Okay?
Is umdina like mindset a word that gets used in modern Hebrew too? Or is it just a...
Umdin da'ato shel adam? Yeah, you would, people would say, yeah.
Standard. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's the standard. That's how you would translate it?
But it's like a, yeah.
Right. We can assume that this is the case. So, okay. Now the Gemara wants to say, okay, the Gemara is already assuming that not everybody agrees with this attitude. Mantana dazlina batar umdina. Okay, who says that we can go based on assumption? Okay. Which Tana is the one who says that? Just one second. And I was thinking this is a little bit like Giloy Da'at Beget. If you remember, we had this whole thing where the woman was embroidering something and the shaliach came and she said, come back tomorrow to give me the get. You know, I'm busy now. And then he comes and then he goes back to the husband. The husband says, Baruch HaTov HaMetiv. And the question was, when the husband said that, did he mean, I'm canceling the get? Right? Good, you didn't give it. I don't really want to give her a get. Or does he have to actually say, I want to cancel the get? Right, so it's similar to this Giloy Da'at. It's where you don't have an exact amira. He never said, I'm giving you all this gift because I think I'm going to die. And therefore, if I don't die, I take it back. But therefore, right, the assumption is, we're basically making assumptions about things that weren't said, and yet, right, we're going to go by it. So who's the Tana who says this? So now we're going to have two different opinions, okay? Two opinions about who says this. And then it's going to be a similar structure for a bunch of things today, which is we're going to have two opinions, maybe two answers, and then we're going to say, well, why didn't he say like him, and why didn't he say like him? So we're going to have that same type of thing twice in today's stuff. Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasehi. Rav Nachman says, it's Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh's opinion, who was a Tana, and it goes by him. Why? How do we know that this is Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh's opinion, that we go based on an umdina? Ditanya Haresha Halach Beno Medina Hayam. V'shama shemet b'no. He went to Medina Hayam, and a rumor gets to him that his son is dead. V'amad v'katav kol nechasav la'acher. And he basically writes a new will, or a will, and he gives all of his property to somebody else. What? It does sound familiar. Yeah, it says it was on Kuf Lamed Bet. I guess we did just see this. Okay. V'achar kach meit b'no, and then after his son dies, matana cho matana. It's a good matana. In other words, even if his son shows up, and it turns out he was wrong, since he didn't say, oh, my son died, and therefore I'm writing, right? We're just collecting facts. We see that he heard that his son died. We see that he writes his nechasim to somebody else. You know, who's to say those things are connected? He certainly didn't say, I am doing this in order to give my son, you know, because my son's no longer alive. So therefore, it's a good matana. That's Tanakama. But Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Ein matana to matana. She'ul male haya yodea shebeno kayam, lo haya kotvan. Right? Had he known his son was still alive, he never would have written it. So it comes Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya and he says, we go by an umdana. Okay, we assume there's an umdana. One can assume the only reason he wrote all his property to somebody else was because he thought his son was dead. So when it turns out it was based on a false information, therefore we can say that it reverts back to his son. And basically anything he wrote after that, you know, that writing it to somebody else is canceled. And that would match our Mishnah. Rav Sheshet Amar, Rav Sheshet says, no, I don't think it's him. I think it's Rabbi Shimon Shizurihi. I think it's Rabbi Shimon Shizuri's opinion. Now, whether Rav Sheshet and Rav Nachman were actually having a discussion about this, or whether each one independently came up with a different answer, is important because it could be that they each kind of said their own thing and weren't communicating with each other. And therefore, the next question of the Gemara, why didn't he all look him, or why didn't he all look him, might not be so relevant. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't view it that way. The Gemara views it as if they were having a discussion. You know, one said this, one said that, and then obviously each one must have seen the other, and why didn't they say the other opinion? So Rav Sheshet Amar, Rav Shimon Shizurihi. Okay, it's not Rav Shimon ben Menasya, it's Rav Shimon Shizuri. Okay, Ditanya, Barishona Hayomrim, Hayotze Bakolar, V'amar, Kidvu Get Lishti. Someone's about to get executed. Okay, we've seen this before, this kolar, some type of execution method I think the Romans used. So someone's about to get executed. V'amar, Kidvu Get Lishti. And he says, write a get for my wife. Now, what's he missing? Just because he says, write a get to my wife, generally, we don't, if somebody says to a aidim, write a get to my wife, they can write it, but they don't actually give it because he didn't say, tnu. Okay, but imagine this guy's about to get executed, he says, write my wife a get. Okay, hare elu, yichtivu v'yitnu. Okay, according to the first opinion, they're allowed to write it and give it. What?
We saw that one in Gittin.
Right, we saw it in Gittin. We definitely saw this case. So that she's not Yibum.
Yeah,
it's to avoid Yibum. Chazru lomar, af ha-mefaresh v'yotzei b'shayara. Okay, they then went and said, not only that, but someone who goes out on a boat or goes out on a caravan, if he does this, also we can assume, now obviously the yotzei b'kolar, what's the assumption? He's so nervous about going away, right? About getting executed, that he doesn't say all the words, right? But he obviously meant it. So then they say, they even added people going abroad, because also you can imagine he's rushing for his trip and he gets all busy. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, Afa Misukan. Okay? Also someone who's sick, okay? And maybe is going to die. Also, we're going to say the same thing. Okay? So you see that Rabbi Shimon Shizuri, again, has this umdana, right? His case is the most similar, really, because it's talking about someone who's sick, who says something, and we can assume that just because he said kitvu and he didn't say kitvu utnu, that he really meant kitvu utnu. So now the Gemara is going to ask, like I told you, Rav Nachman, my time on Lamokim, like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. So why didn't the first opinion, Rav Nachman, why didn't he hold like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri? So what does he say? Shane hatam damar kitvu. He at least said kitvu. In other words, he already said part of what he meant to say. So once he said kitvu, it was obvious that he meant tnu. That's not even an umdana case. That's much clearer, right? Here we get to gradation, right? So Here we're going to say, that's already, you said kitvu. Obviously, kitvu included tnu, because kitvu normally, we're worried, we don't say tnu, because maybe you just want it written, and you're going to decide whether you want to divorce your wife. In this case, it was obvious that he meant kitvu tnu. Nobody, you know, there was going to be no future point where he was going to be able to reassess the situation, do I really want to give it or not? Or at least he was concerned there would be none. My time alomokim la kirab shimon ben Menasya. Why didn't Rav Sheshet hold like the first opinion? Dina demuchach shane. He says that case is it's very clearly proven. He finds out his son is dead, and then he. In other words, while his son was alive, he didn't write a will to give all of his property to somebody else. The fact that, right, and we have facts on the ground that prove what happened. So even though when I said it, right, we said it like, well, we can see that his son died, we can see that he wrote his nechassim, but we don't really know what was going on in his head and what, you know, what the process was. But now the Gemara is saying, why didn't you say that? You know, why did Rav Sheshet not agree with that? Because Rav Sheshet views it as, those are clear facts on the ground. He thought his son was dead, then he finds out his son isn't dead, and in the meantime, he wrote his nechassim to someone, and now he wants to give his nechassim, you know, now we want to assume. It's just obvious. Nobody would write their nechassim if they thought their son was still alive. Doesn't make so much sense. Or again, maybe they would, but in this case, because of the timing of it, it was quite clear what was going on here. So therefore, he thinks, again, it's all a matter of your viewpoint, right? Each one thinks that the other one is more clear than a classic case of umdina, like in our case, okay? Whereas in our case, again, it depends whether he left himself land or didn't leave himself land, and that then we have to assess, oh, well, if he left himself land, it must be he was assuming that even if he gets better, we're going to give away all the property to the other people. And the reason he left himself property was so that in case he gets better, right? He's happy to write his nechassim away to everybody, as long as he has something for himself. Man tana lahadu tanu rabbanan. Now they're going to bring a case, and they're going to say, who's the tana who holds, who's the author of this braita, so to speak? Detanu rabbanan. What does it say in this braita? Hare shaya chole umutal b'mita. He was sick, lying in bed. V'amru lo nechasecha lemi. And they said to him, who do you want to give your property? V'amar lahem, Domesh sheyesh li ben. Achshav she'ein li ben, nechasai leploni. I thought I had a son, but now that I realize I don't have a son, I want to give it to somebody else. Hayach chole mutal b'mita, v'amrulo, another case. He was sitting in bed and, you know, about to die, and they said to him, nechasav lemi. Amar lahem, he says to them, domesh ishti mu'uberet. I think my wife is pregnant. But achshav she'ein ishti mu'uberet, in other words, I thought she was pregnant, but now that I found out that she really isn't pregnant, nechasai leploni. Now, what happens in both these cases? You can imagine, right? Noda sheyesh lo ben, o shai taishto mu'uberet. It turns out he really did have a son, or his wife was pregnant. So what he said in this statement was, I thought I had a son, but it turns out I don't. I thought my wife was pregnant, but it turns out she's not. And then the facts on the ground are checked, and it turns out she is pregnant or he does have a son. So in this case, right, what do we say? Ein matanato matana. Okay? So who is the author of this Mishnah based on what we learned? So they want to say, Lema Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya hi velo Rabbanan. Let's suggest that this is Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, who's basically talked about a very similar case, where he went to Medinat Hayam. He heard a rumor that his son was dead. He writes all his nechassim to somebody else, and then his son shows up on the scene. So we're going to assume that it must be just like him, because this is, again, an umdana case. Maybe, maybe not, though, because what's the difference here? There's a very big difference here. In that case, what happened? He thought the son was dead. He doesn't mention anything about the son's death. He just says, I'm writing a will, and in my will, I'm giving all the money to so-and-so. As opposed to in this case where he said, I thought I had a son, right? Now, turns out I don't have a son, and then he gives all of his, and therefore I'm giving all my money to so-and-so. So it's much more clear, right? So that's why the Gemara is going to say, let's suggest this, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, but then they say, Rabbi lo Rabbanan, but then they say, no, afilu tema Rabbanan, domesh shane. And it's because he said the words, domesh sheyesh li ben, even though he didn't say exactly explicitly, because I don't have a son, therefore I'm writing it, but he said a lot more words than in the previous case, right? Whereas the previous case, he didn't make any mention of not having a son. In this case, he made very clear mention of, I thought I was going to have a son, and they asked him, where are you giving your property to? He says, I thought I had a son, but turns out I don't have a son. I'm giving my nechassim to so-and-so. So the Gemara basically says, this must match even Rabbanan, who don't hold by Umdina, because again, this is more than, this is more clear than a classic case of Umdina. So now the Gemara is going to say, so what were you even thinking, right? Isn't it pretty obvious that this is different from the other case? Udikarila makarila. When you said this in the beginning, what were you thinking? Mau detema tsarahu de kamidkar kamashmalan. It could be that he was just lying on his deathbed, reflecting on his life and saying, oh, I thought I was going to have a son, but it turns out I don't have a son. I'm going to give my nechassim to so-and-so. But it could be he was just kind of moaning and groaning about the fact that he never had a son, or I thought my wife was pregnant, it turns out she's not pregnant. And it was this attitude of, not necessarily that they're totally connected, and therefore they thought maybe this really is an umdana case, but no, the Gemara concluded, right, thankfully, because it doesn't really sound like it's an umdana case, right, that it's not an umdana case. Okay, now, I said in the very beginning, we're going to get to the basic halacha of a matnat shchiv mera. If you remember, we said, matnat shchiv mera kechtuvim muchim esurin dami, right? If he says, I want to give a gift to someone, it's as if he doesn't say, write a shtar, right? He doesn't need to say any of that. As long as he says it, whatever he says on his deathbed, we do. So, Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Rav, minayin lamatnat shchiv mera shehim in haTorah, where do I know it's from the Torah? Shneamar. Remember this pasuk? Okay, now if you remember this pasuk, we actually learned from it something else, so hold off on that. But he's going to say, we darshan this to say, Yesh lecha ha'avara acheret shehi kazo, ve'ezo zo matnat shchiv mera. When the daughter inherits, how does she inherit? Is there a shtar? No. If there's no sons, it automatically goes to the daughter. So they say, why did they use the word v'havartem? Last time we also darshan this word v'havartem, because in all the other psukim it said v'natatem, and by the bat it said v'havartem. So comes Rabbi Zera and he says, in the name of Rav, v'havartem is an extra use of a word. In other words, it could have just used some other word. And it's to say that there's some other, it's to include another type of ha'avara that goes like Yerusha, meaning that it doesn't require a shtar, a kinyan, any of that. So, what's that going to be? Matnat shchiv mera, right? So, not only inheritance that passes to your son, or if you have no sons, it passes to your daughters. Not only that type of inheritance passes without any sort of kinyan, but anything somebody says on their deathbed will also be passed without any sort of kinyan. That's the first opinion. Rav Nachman, we're going to have four different opinions. Okay, I used sheet today. If you want to follow along, I'm already midway, but... So we're in the middle section of the sheet, and you see there's going to be four answers. They're going to stop after the first two and do the same game we played before, which is why doesn't he hold like him? Okay, you can already guess why someone's not going to hold by this pasuk, because they need it for the other drasha. Okay? Rav Nachman Amar Rav Ravua Mehacha. He says we learn it from a different pasuk in that same section of the Bnot Tzavchad and all the laws that were given about Dinei Yerusha. V'natatema nachalato la'achiv. Why did you say v'natatem and nachalato l'achiv? Here he's going to say even the word natatem is extra. Should have just said, and the nachala goes to the brother. So what are we going to learn from here? Just like at the previous one, yesh l'cha netina acheret she'i kazo, right? This is in the case where there's no sons and there's no daughters. Then it goes to the brother. Again, remember, it really goes to the father first, but that's not mentioned in the psukim. Yesh l'cha netina acheret she'i kazo ve'ezo zo matnat shchiv mera. Okay, so there's another type of, same idea, that goes to someone without any sort of kinyan, and that's a manat shchid mera. So again, they're going to say, Rav Nachman, my time alo amar meha'avartem. So that's going to be easy. Ha'um ba'ale l'chidi Rebbe, because he needs it for the drashav Rebbe. D'tanya Rebbe omer, b'kulan emra behen nitina, v'kan emra ha'avara. Right, Rebbe says it explicitly. In all the other section, in all the other psukim there, in that section where it talks about giving nachala, it says nitina v'natatem. V'kan emra ha'avara. So why? Ein lecha shemavir nachala mishevet leshevet ela bat. Ho'ilu b'na'u b'ala yorshim ota. It was to teach you that when the daughter inherits, right, and then she gets married and she dies first, the nachala will go to her husband, okay, and to her sons. To teach you that the bat is ma'avir, right? Ha'avartem, you're going to give it to someone who's going to be ma'avir it, right? The nachala, away from the shevet. And that teaches you that a son inherits from a mother, right? And that the husband inherits from his wife. V'Rabbi Zeira, my time, alo amar mi vinatatem. So why didn't he say, why didn't he learn it from vinatatem? This is also pretty obvious, because orche dekrahu. He just views that as that's the word, the pasuk needs to use some sort of word, so that's the basic word. Vavartem, remember, is different from all of them. And that's why he darshan vavartem. But vinatatem is the standard word that was used. You need some word. You can't, right? This is a classic of drashot. Sometimes they take a word that really is needed in the pasuk, and they say it's unnecessary, right? And that's what he's saying. You can't say that word was unnecessary. You need that pasuk, otherwise the pasuk won't read properly. Now we're going to have two more answers, which the reason you'll see in a minute why these first two are separated from the last two, because these first two are from the Torah and from the section of Dinei Yerusha. The next two, and you have to wonder why the next two were brought when there's already pasukim in the Torah, but the next two are going to be brought from pasukim in the Nevi'im. Okay, which generally we don't exactly always learn out halakha from the Nevi'im, but again, they're going to show... You can see from actions that were done that a matnat shchiv meira works, okay, just by him saying it. Rabbi Nasha bar Yirmiyah amar mehacha, bayamim ahem chalach Chizkiyahu lamut, okay, and Sefer Melechim, Chizkiyahu gets sick, v'yavo elav Yishayahu ben Amoz Hanavi, right here Yishayahu appears, not in Sefer Yishayahu, but he appears in Sefer Melechim, and he comes, bayomer elav, komar Hashem, Sav lebeitcha ki metata. You should command to your house because you're going to die, right? Yishayahu comes and tells him you're going to die. So what do you see here, right? Ki metata v'lo techyeh. So you'd see sav is a tzivoy, right? Command in words, but tzava'al ba'alma. Rami bar yeches kalamar mehacha. And if you're already bringing pesukim from the Nevi'im, I'll bring you another one. V'achitofel, right? He was the yo'etz for Avshalom. He was the advisor, and when he realized that Avshalom was going to lose the marriage, you'll see in this pasuk, he goes and he commits suicide. And before he commits suicide, we're going to see again the word tzav. Bachitofel ra'a ki lo ne'esta atzato. He realizes his advice wasn't going to work out. Vayachavosh et hachamor, vayelech el beito. When he gets his chamor ready, he goes to his house, eliro. Vayitzav el beito, and he commands his house, meaning what to do with my property. Vayechanek, okay, and he chokes, he basically strangles himself or chokes himself. So you see here, again, b'tzava'a ba'alma. Okay, interesting to be bringing proof from Achitofel who commits suicide here. But some of the Mefreshim say, you see from here, that if someone commits suicide, right, they still have regular Dinei Yerusha. Okay, they're treated, right? It's interesting, he wasn't exactly a Shchiv Meira. He wasn't lying in bed sick, but it was the moment before his death that he does it. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. If we're already at Achitofel, right? I thought it doesn't come up here. I thought it came up here, but if you remember, we talked about this, about the reason why we allow this manat shchiv meira, right? I thought it comes up in the Gemara. Maybe it comes up after. Is so that lo titaref da'ato alav, right? We don't want to get the sick person worked up that he's not going to be able to do his last, to have things the way he wants them to be. We want to keep him calm. Tanu Rabbanan, right, this is connected to, okay, when someone's on their deathbed, not only, right, he was tzavet beito in terms of his Yerusha, but he was also tzavet beito a few other things. Shlosha dvarim tziva achitofel et banav. Al tiyu b'machloket, okay, don't be fighting, right, what is, I actually didn't look this up, what this means, b'machloket, right, with each other or with?
Do not quarrel amongst yourselves.
Right, okay. Maybe, I guess he's, this is in perspective, right? He worked with Avshalom to go rebel against his own brothers, right? And I think he was telling his sons, this isn't a successful methodology. Yeah, what do you want to say?
It's not written down. There's a lot more room for interpretation or misremembering, and it becomes a lot more likely to be quarreled about. So he's saying,
even though it's not going
to
be
written down, but do it in the best of spirits, or try not to quarrel, whatever
saying,
he's saying.
To try to give them advice about not to argue about the inheritance, yeah. Possibly. Right? I think it's more a little bit connected, especially the next one also. Va'altim reduba machupe tavid. Okay, don't, right? Kind of lessons he learned from his last moment, his last moments of life. Now here's a totally different thing. The Yom Tov Shel Atzeret Baror Zaru Chitim. If the Yom Tov of Atzeret Shavuot was when they did the Ktzir Chitim, Okay, that's why, right, we always have those chita, right? Everybody associates the chita with Shavuot. If you see it's a beautiful day, then plant chitim for next year. You'll know that the following year there'll be a good crop of chitim. Okay, it will be a siman bracha. Okay, Marzutra says, wait, no, it's not bahur. It's if it was balul, if it was cloudy, it's a siman for the chitim. Okay, so then itmar amrei nehardeah mishmei derabbi Yaakov lo bahur. So here he comes to basically in nehardeah and the name of Rabbi Yaakov. They figure out the reconciliation. Maybe it's like what you said. Don't argue. They're not actually arguing. Lo bahur bahur mamash, but lo balul balul mamash. It doesn't mean totally clearly sunny, right? You can see where this is going, but not totally cloudy. Ela afilu balu beruach tzvonit minashavto. Zehu barur. Barur is basically partly cloudy, right? It's where it was cloudy, but the ruach tzvonit is blowing the clouds, basically, so that there's sun that comes through. Okay, that's what they mean when they say barur. Amar le Rabbi Abba le Rav Ashi. Anan ad Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi matninala. We learned it from Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, the way he's his version. Da'am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, okay, that the sign doesn't come from, okay, this is very interesting. It's actually a very interesting machloket because what they're saying is the sign for the following year comes from Shavuot, right? It all starts already from the year before when they get the new crop of chitim. It's almost like you already have to start thinking about the following year. It's almost like this concept of you can't enjoy the moment because you're already worrying about, in theory, you're at the, you know, where the chitim are growing and you should be all happy, but you have to really worry about the following year's crop already. But according to this opinion, it's Motzei Yom Tov Ha'acharon Shel Chag is when they basically look for the simanim, which is Shmini Atzeret. Okay? Because that's the big, right? That's the, they've just finished harvesting, they're about to start planting, right? And that's when, right, I think they plant then, is that when they, I'm trying to remember, it has to work. The harvest is then, and I assume they plant before the winter. Right, it makes sense. Right, they plant right then because then the rains have to come. So, and we always know that's when b'chag nidonim al hamayim, right? That's when we find out, right, we pray for the rain so we have a rainy season so that the crops will grow. And don't start thinking about Shavuot the year before, right? It's chag. Now, what are the simanim according to him? Hakol tzofin, here this is very interesting, not just at the weather, but where do they check the weather? La'ashan ha'maracha. They look at the esh on the mizbeach, okay, and they check the wind based on the fire on the mizbeach and the Beit HaMikdash, which is very interesting because what it's, right, it's connecting. We generally view, okay, well, God is responsible for the weather, but here they're saying, no, where do you do it? In the makom of God. You look for the weather in the place of, in the Beit HaMikdash. And what do? So you look. Natak klapei tzafon. I charted this out so you can see it, because also we're going to have a contradiction in a minute. Natak klapei tzafon. If the fire is blowing to the north, what does that mean? It means it was a south wind. Aniim smichim ubalei batin atsevin. Why? So the aniim will be very happy. The balei batin will be sad. Mipnei, and this is a great thing, because what do you see here? The weather affects different people in different ways. So, mipnei shegishmei shana mirubin, and when there's a lot of gishmei bracha, what will happen? Perot markivin. The perot rot because it's all wet and humid. So in the storehouses, the rich people who have all the crops, they fill up their storehouses, but everything rots. So what's going to have to happen? Right? They're going to have to sell their stuff quickly and the prices will drop. So the aniyim are happy, the ashirim are not so happy because they're going to lose money on this. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, like, where your David today became, like, the poor section of town in Bayit Sheni, mm-hmm. and that was to the south. So that whole area, which really was poor, would have not been affected by all of this. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it would have been people north of the Beit HaMikdash that would have been.
Aha, you're saying the wind wouldn't have hit them.
The wind wouldn't have hit them.
Well, the rain would have been the same, no? They're saying if there's a wind going in this direction, that's a sign of how much rain is going to come. It's what they viewed as the wind direction told how much rain is going to come. Okay. That was their assumption.
Okay.
So, natak lape darom, if it was a northern wind, aniyim atzevim u'ba'alei batim smechim. Mipnei shegishmei shana mu'atim, there won't be so many rains, but there'll be enough to grow the crops, but not too many, they'll be able to store their stuff. U'peirot mishtamrim, and the peirot will store very nicely. And therefore, they'll be able to charge high prices, because they'll be able to have peirot even out of season, they could charge high prices for that. Natak lape mizrach, okay, the western wind, hakol smechim. Okay, everybody's happy because it means there's going to be a good amount of rain, but not too much, not too little, the perfect amount. So in this case, everyone will be happy. Klape ma'arav, it means there's going to be a drought. And then hakol atzevim, nobody's happy. So now they say, wait a minute, uraminhi. Mizrachi, now it's confusing because it's not now klape mizrach, it's the opposite. It means the ruach mizrachi, so I put it on the chart, right? The nata, this is going to be like the klape ma'arav. Mizrachit la'olam yafeh, which is the exact opposite, right? What did we say? Mizrachit hakol atzevim. And ma'aravit la'olam kasheh. And that was the one hakol smechim. Ruach tzfonit yafeh lachitin. Okay, the ruach tzfonit is good for chitin. B'sha'a shevi ushlish, once they're already a third of the way ripened. V'kasheh lezeitim b'sha'a shianitzu. And they're bad for the zeitim right when they're budding, okay? The ruach dromit kasheh lechitim b'sha'a shevi ushlish. The ruach dromit is dafka bad for the chitim, the opposite. V'yafeh lezeitim b'sha'a shenitzu, and it's good for the zeitim when they start to bud. So now we have to deal with this ma'arav and mizrach. V'amar Rav Yosef, v'yitem Amar Sutra, v'yitem Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. First he brings the siman, v'simanech. Here's your siman for these to remember what's good for what. Shulchan, what does he do? Again, if we're going to use the Esh HaMaracha, here we're going to use the Hechal, and where the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash were. So Shulchan, which is made from, right, what sits on the Shulchan? The Lechem HaPanim, which is the Chitim. The Shulchan is B'tzafon. Okay, so therefore, what do you see? The Ruach Tzfonit is good for the Chitim. So that's how you remember, because the Shulchan is in the Tzafon of the room. U'menorah B'darom, the menorah is in the Darom, and that's the Asay Zayit, because it's lit by the Shemen Zayit. And therefore, the Darom is good for the Menorah. Hai Mar B'Didei, V'Hai Mar B'Didei. Okay, so now they're going to say, Hai Mar B'Didei. Right, Kol Echad Megadel Et Shelo. Right, each one is good for what it does. Okay, that's just that line. Now, how do we deal with this? Ruach Mizrachit and Ruach Maravit looking like opposites. Halan v'halahu, that's a classic answer, which means difference between Babel and Eretz Yisrael. We all know that the climate was different. What was the main difference? That in Babel there was tons of rain. So more rain, right, which is the ruach ma'aravit, which brings the rain, okay? When it said in the beginning, hakol smechim, right, that they, Eretz Yisrael needs a lot of rain. So if the ruach ma'aravit, which brings the gshamim, that's Eretz Yisrael. And in the one that says the Ruach Maravit is Lo'olam Kasheh, that's Babel, because they already have a lot of rain and they don't need more rain. Okay, so if the Ruach Maravit is coming, bringing tons of rain, everything's going to be just swamps, you know, and disgusting. So that's the difference between them. Okay, whereas again, it's going to be the opposite with the Ruach Mizrachit, which Bonat et Geshem, that's bad for Eretz Yisrael. So the Brayta, the first one is bad for Eretz Yisrael. The Brayta is good for Eretz Yisrael. Okay, you'd have to say, by the way, usually the Brayta were from Eretz Yisrael, but you'd have to say that this Brayta was authored in Babel, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Or you could maybe say that in Babel they switched the, you know, they saw this Brayta and said it must be the opposite, because it doesn't make any sense. Okay? Tanya, Abba Shaul Amir. Yom Tov Shel Atzeret, Bahur. Now we're back to this, right, this thing about Shavuot. If it was Bahur, Siman Yafeh L'Kol HaShana Kula. Not only was it Siman Yafeh for Chitim, but it's a good Siman for the whole year. Amros Vid, Hayom Akama Derei Shata, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Ich Chamim Kula Shata Chamima. Ich Karir Kula Shata Karira. Okay, this is, I was thinking when people say if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, you're going to sleep the whole year. This is along those same lines, right? If it's a sunny day, the whole year will be sunny. If it'll be a hotter year than usual, right? Global warming, maybe. If it's a cold day, then it's a sign it's going to be a cold year. So now they say, Lamai Nachimina, what's the relevance? Here's an interesting answer. L'tfilato shel Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol prays on Yom Kippurim, if he knows it's going to be a very hot year, then what does he pray for? That it won't be terribly hot and ruin all the crops. If he knows it's going to be a really cold year, he'll pray, let it not be too cold. Okay, but your tefillot are affected based on these simanim, is what they're saying. Okay, that the simanim are indicators, and then it's based on that. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman. Here, I knew it came up in the Gemara. Here, now, at the end of the Sugya, they say, Amar Rav Nachman, manat shchiv meira midirabanan ba'almahi. Okay, so a gift of a shchiv meira is only has tokef midirabanan. In other words, it's not midoraita, that it's not a doraita kinyan, it's a dorabanan kinyan. Shema titaref da'ato alav. Right, the rabbis instituted as a takana so that the person won't go crazy on his deathbed. We want to keep him calm and relaxed. We don't want him to get all worked up and he'll die immediately. So therefore, it's a dorabanan takana that we count it as if there was a kinyan. Okay, but it only has tokef midorabanan. So now we say, Umi amar Rav Nachman hachi? Did Rav Nachman really say that it's only dorabanan? V'ha amar Rav Nachman, doesn't Rav Nachman say, Af al gav da'amar Shmuel, ha-mocher sh'tarchov l'chavero, v'chazar u'mechalo machul, v'afilu yoresh mochel. Okay, before we get into the connection between this and that, I'm going to stop here and start explaining. So let's forget about Rav Nachman for a minute. Let's move on to this statement about Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel. Somebody has a loan out, okay? I'm a malveh, I've lent you money. Now, I have an IOU that you owe me 100 shekel. I take that IOU of 100 shekel, and I need the money right now, but you're not paying me right now. Let's say the loan is only due in a year. I go to my neighbor, and I say, hey, would you like to buy this shtar chov from me? And I sell him rights to the shtar chov. Now, how much is he going to buy it for? He's not going to buy it for 100, because what's in it for him? He's going to buy it for 90, let's say, and then, or 80, right? And then, he knows down the road, he'll be able to collect the 100 shekel. So let's just say for all intents and purposes, I sell it to him for 80. So now, first of all, there's a debate about how I can sell this, and it's a valid sale. There's a bunch of debates among the Rishonim about this sale. You can see the daf is short because there's a lot of debates about it, a lot of issues. First question is, how do I sell this? Do I sell it just by Mesira? Are you Koned? If I give you the shtar, are you Koned by Mesira? Or do I have to write you a shtar saying, I am selling you my IOU for this? Okay, so that's the first debate. Do I sell it with shtar? Do I sell it by Mesira? The second debate is, does it work? Is this a valid sale, Midoraita? Or is it only a valid sale, Midorabanan? So the Rif claims that this is only a valid sale, Midorabanan. Okay? It actually doesn't work, Midoraita. Okay? Because... No, there's no Rebbe, really. Right, it does look a little like Rebbe, but it's not Rebbe. If it was Rebbe, it would be not allowed. Right, there's no Rebbe because I'm selling it to you. It's like I'm selling an item, right? It's like selling your ketubah, right? Where, again, I'm going to sell it for less money because maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. Right? There was obviously this whole business world of selling shtarot. I'm sure it goes on today, right? There was something once, someone with an insurance policy that they... There were a certain age, and there was a, you know, because they were at high risk, because they were above a certain age, so there was some cheap insurance policy they could buy and get paid a lot of money if they outlived the insurance policy. It's the same kind of idea, really. So the Rif says this only works on a Drabana level, okay? We'll see why, what's motivating him to say this, because we're going to see soon that it's not 100% of a sale. So the question is going to be, why is it not 100% of a sale? Is it because it only has tokef midorabanan? Or the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it has tokef midoraita. I sold you a document. That's valid midoraita. The problem is that because it's a loan, now there's a certain, we're going to see this comes up a lot in Sanhedrin also. We've seen this before. Eved lova li'ish malva. What does that mean? It's a pasuk, I believe in Mishlei. That the loved becomes an evid, is subjugated to the malved. Why? Because the malved did him a favor, right? It's not like a sale, somebody sold something. He lent him money when he was stuck. So when someone lends you money when you're stuck, even though you have to pay them back all the money, but they did something nice for you and you're somewhat bound to them. Because of that, they view the loved as having, the halva'ah, the loan, as having two levels. One is, there's a personal connection between the lova and the malve, that you can't pass over by selling someone a shtar. If I sold Ruth my shtar, that Naomi owes me money, I have the relationship with Naomi, not Ruth. And Naomi feels bound to me. So what I sell to Ruth is what we call the shibud nechasim. The fact when I take when Naomi takes out a loan, so her land is bound to the loan, right? She has a shtar, assuming it's a shtar. Her land is bound to the loan, and she has to pay back that money. But there's also what's called a shibud aguf. There's a personal interconnection. Because of that, she's bound to me. So if I sell Ruth the document, or I sell her the shtar chov, and then, okay, here's the words, amoshter shtar chov l'chavero, v'chazaru machalo, and then I say to Naomi, you know, you owe me money, but I'm going to cancel. You don't owe me the money. I won't collect it from you. Even though I no longer have the shtar chov, according to this, it's machul. I can cancel the loan. And why is that? So again, the Rif will say, because selling the shtar chov only worked midarabana. And Naomi has a daraita chiyuv to me. I can cancel that and no problem. Or, according to the way Rabbeinu Tam and others explain it, it's because there's this hitchayvut yishit between me and Naomi. And if I cancel that, then the shibud nechasim disappears. Okay? So, now it's obviously not a good thing if I do that. And there's a whole discussion. We learned this in Ketubot about Dina Degarme, if you remember. There was this thing called Dina Degarme, which is indirect damage. I'm causing Ruth indirect damage from this. So based on Rabbi Meir's Shita, which is that you are chayav for indirect damage. If you remember, there was a whole thing about Grama ben Ezekin and then Dina Degarme. So Dina Degarme is if I cause Ruth indirect damage, which is by me canceling the loan, I cause Ruth to lose out on her money. So according to Rabbi Meir, and we actually paskin like him, it's true I can cancel the loan, but I have to pay Ruth back the money. Now, what money do I have to pay her? There's a debate about that too. Do I have to pay her the whole thing? Because basically, I made her lose out the possibility of collecting the 100 shekel. Or do I have to pay her the 80 shekel that she paid me? Do I have to just reimburse her the money? Whole debate about that too. Okay, there's a lot of debates here about a lot of issues. Okay, but I clearly, according to this, I have to compensate her for the loss. So Rashi says I have to pay the full value. And Tosfot says I only have to pay Ruth the value of what she paid me. Okay, so now, what does this have to do with our issue? So, mocher shtar chov l'chaveru, v'chazar machalo machul. V'afilu yoresh mocher. Now, even if I die and I leave it to my heirs, they have the same interpersonal connection. Like, Naomi's bound to them just like she's bound to me. So, modesh Shmuel, she'im'ah. So now, right, afagav da'amr Shmuel, mocher shtar chov l'chaveru, v'afilu yoresh mocher. Modesh Shmuel she'im nitano b'manas shchiv mera de'eno yachol l'machlo. If I gave it to Ruth on my deathbed, as opposed to selling it to her, but I gave it to her on my deathbed, then I can't be mochel. So now, what's the issue? Rav Nachman said, "Manas shchiv mera is only midrabanan." How could then we say, right? I amar bishlama de'oraita, the manas shchiv mera is de'oraita mishum hachi eno yachol l'machlo. That's why I can't be mochelit. But if you say, Ela'i amar de rabbanan, amai no yacholim chol, right? How could it be? If it's only de rabbanan, right? Then this manat shchiv mera, how could we say that has so much tokef that I can't even be mochel? That's stronger than a mocher shtar chov? It doesn't make any sense. So what do we answer? Eina shel Torah v'asa'u kishel Torah. Even though a manat shchiv mera is only me de rabbanan, and this is something we've seen in other cases, where sometimes we see it worded like Chachamim Asu Chizuk LeDibrehem Kishel Torah, or sometimes even Yoter Kishel, more than the Torah. The rabbis sometimes, in order to make their takanot stronger, they're allowed to give something a tokef midoraita. By the way, what gives them the power to do this? It's something we've learned before. It's called Hefker Beitin Hefker. It means that the Beitin has the power to take your money and say it's not actually your money, it's Hefker, and therefore we can give it to somebody else. So likewise here, the Beit Din can come and say, even though you didn't do a kinyan on this property, we're going to come in and say, since you said you wanted to give it to this person, right? We're going to come in and say, this money is now hefker. We're going to give it now to the person you said. Right? We have the power to move money, right? When it comes to dine mamonot. So therefore, that's how they have to answer it. They have to answer it based on this problem with what he said in the name of Shmuel, that it must be that manat shchiv mera has the tokef mida oraita, even though it's not actually a mida oraita halacha. Okay, we'll end here for today.